Blog Talk Radio.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never be the same. It's in your hand.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Mishpachah. Welcome to another edition of Glory Mountain, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network. I'm your host, Elder V. It truly is an increase to be before you on the seventh day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Let's welcome with us Elder Andre as well, is joining us. Shalom, brother.
Shalom. Shalom. Good morning to all my brothers and sisters, friends and enemies. I have to say that these days.
You're starting off pretty deep, huh?
Well, hey, you know, with some of the comments we be getting, man, we also got enemies listening. So, you know, say good morning. I would just want to say good morning to everyone, including them. Yeah, and so here we are, another Shabbat. Sun is shining on my end. How about yours?
Fog. Hey,
oh,
but long time ago, you know, when we were in our little got to get a little catchy, quick preaching sermon days, we used to say fog stands for the favor of God.
Well, you in a lot of it, man, because you right off the water. So you,
yeah, you know, I like to think of it sometimes as a natural air cleanser that kind of pushes some of the toxins out. But I don't know, with all this radioactivity out here these days, I don't know. But all praises to the Most High to just be alive and to be able to take in, like you say, another seventh day and have this time of rest, this day of worship. Coming for his presence with singing and thanksgiving. Israel, this is our day of worship that the Most High has established for us. And so we rejoice all day. We rejoice. We give him praise. You know, and for those of you just coming into the knowledge of the truth, well, treat it like you used to treat Sunday, because you worshiped Sunday. You know, you felt like Sunday was the day you was going to repent and get it right. Well, let that be of today. And when you repent, you come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, which is why we're here, to get into the laws, statutes, and commandments. And I think one thing is much needed is that we need to know what we're repenting from, how to repent, and how to come back to the Most High.
That's true. I mean, because... you know, and I have to say this, you know, my days in church, when it's properly done, I guess, and I'm mainly talking about a sermon, when the people would want to, Kodesh, Ruach HaKodesh, brings upon the people true repentance, then, you know, you see that amongst the people, depending on, you know, the word that went out. And this is something that, we are lacking today. And matter of fact, I keep up with some of these preachers because I just want to know what they're saying. And last night I was watching what's this guy, Jamal Bryant, and that was one of the things that he had mentioned. Matter of fact, surprisingly, he was on point as far as if the church don't come back to the Most High, there are things that's about to happen right now to us. As far as many attacks and also to the church. And so I was proud of him last night. He did a good job, you know. But so that is true. I mean, we have to come back to true repentance in the Most High and come back once again to our culture, which we're about to get into in a few minutes.
Most definitely. So we want to thank all of you for tuning in. Guest calling numbers 213-769-0910. Towards the end of the lesson, if you have any questions or comments, you can press 1 on your dial. As we said today, this show is designed and geared towards the reading of the law, as we did, as our forefathers did, and coming back to the Torah and lifting up the name of Ahayah Vahashem, Yesha HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, our Father, our Abba, and keeping us in a mind frame and giving us a construct, something that we can conform our lives to. Israel, it's time for us to come back to an order, to a construct. We don't want to be a lawless society. We need to understand that these laws are geared towards giving us a hedge about us, a protection, a seal around us, and a sense of direction to guide us through these dark times, these prevalent times, these times spoken of by the apostles, perilous times, which we are in. It is all around us. This world order construct is here, but we don't preach fear, as I said at the beginning of the year, and it's amazing to know that we're just about done with the year. And I can hear people that are actually starting to ante up the fear mechanism once again, because they're saying we're running out of time, because we're supposedly running into the end of the world by December 21st, 2012. And then there's another prediction that there'll be massive military strikes in October, ground and air assault. You hear about these things from these prognosticators of doom. Israel, what we're trying to get our people to be prepared to do is come back to the covenant, the original, the construct, so that we will be prepared for the return and coming of our brother Yeshua, and we will walk. Because one thing is that scripture said, when we see him, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be just like him. We shall be changed. This is why their desire is to destroy and kill as many of us as possible, because they don't want to see the transformation. You talk about the movie Transformers. They know many of us are going to begin to transform, change, and begin to see in the spirit, take on armor, weaponry. Weapons of our warfare won't even be carnal, but will be that was spoken of in Joel, the 3rd chapter, by the prophet. And there's no army, I don't care what the New World Order, the Illuminati has prepared, there's no army that'll be able to stand in that day. But this is where it begins. Let us come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. So with that being said, my brother, let's go ahead and kick it off. If you want to start off with the first one, I'll do the reading.
Okay. The first one is to say the Shema twice daily. And that's taken out of Deuteronomy, the Hebrew word Devarim, chapter 6. Really 6 and 4, but I put chapter 6, 4 through 7, so that we may get a better understanding.
Devarim, which is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Did you say
yes.
4 through 7?
Yes.
Okay. Deuteronomy 6. Sixth chapter, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Now, this is, these words that the elder just read, this is vital for the congregation, vital for the house of Israel to obey. Matter of fact, from when I looked at and studied this yesterday, it was at least five times in Scripture. Well, what I found, it could have been more, but especially in the Renewed Covenant, I believe it was said about maybe four times. It was in, and it was in all the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so this is very important for us to obey. Now, the thing is, in order to understand what the Most High is saying and what we are to speak, we have to understand what the Shema is. And the Shema, the reason why it's called the Shema, at least the Hebrew word Shema, there's two, well, I'm going to put the Egyptian in this too. I mean, because the Egyptian gives the picture of, but matter of fact, they both do, but it's just different in different ways, the Egyptian as well as the Hebrew. With this word, it gives, now the Egyptian gives a picture of a pool with flowers to it, and it's which is that SH, which is the same that goes for shalom or peace or rest. And then the next picture is waters. Now waters can represent it can represent people, it can represent nations, cultures and countries. And the next is a hand. And their other one, which is basically the same, representing not only the hand but a column, like one that is holding a building, that's connected to a building. And in the Hebrew, they basically had the same thing, except for the Hebrew word. And I'm going back, to their ancient, to the Hebrew hieroglyphs, which is related to the Egyptians. They basically had the same thing, but at the end, they had not a hand, but they had either an eye or a leg of someone walking. And so what this represents is the pool is representing the people of Israel. The waters, now I had to pray about this, but it could mean that the Most High knew that we were going to be scattered amongst the nations. And so the hand is meaning that as you speak this name, and we're about to go, like I said, I'm about to break this word Shema down, that you speak his name into the atmosphere. And so therefore the name Shema or Shama is same name as the word Shem. So, and what Shem means is name. For example, like the son Shem, Noah's son Shem, it basically means name. But not only his name, his character, his ministry, and so on. And so when you say the word heavens, for example, you're saying the Shamayim, which is the same as the word Shem, but you're adding it to the plural, and so that too means names, attributes, characters, ministries, and so on. And so when we say the Shema daily, what the Shema is really saying is to speak out his name. And so therefore, it the King James puts it as the word hear. And so and that would be in the Strong's 8085, and that means to hear, to listen, to hearken, to obey. Now watch this. To proclaim Yah's name, to publish it, to report it. And so this is why this name is so important, because when we speak the Shema, you're basically saying speak his name. And so by us being scattered all over the planet, we are to, the one thing that, that would keep us as one is to speak his name. And so the Hebrew, in the Hebrew, it would Elder, if you don't mind, let me go back over the name, because I don't want to get anybody confused. What me and Elder, as well as others, what we ascribe to is what the Most High said his name is. And when we go to Exodus 3, and I'm turning to it now, Exodus 3 and just a second. Exodus, I'm going to start at Exodus 3 and 13.
You want me to read that?
Yeah, and read it all the way down to... read it to 15.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said, Verse 15. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations.
And so, he declares that his name. Now, once again, we're reading out of the King James. He declared that his name is. Which the word I am that I am is Ehyah Asher Ehyah or Ahayah Asher Ahayah. And so that's what he said his name is, and he said that that will be his name and his memorial for all generations. In other words, that name isn't going to change. When you get before the Most High, that's going to be his name. It's not going to be no different name. It's not going to be Zeus or what's the other? Well, yeah, Zeus or any other name. It's not going to be, you know, Ra or anything. It's going to be that name, Ahayah, Asher Ahayah, when you come before his presence. And so when you see another name, and like I'm about to read, but the other name, you know, people may say Yahweh or whatever, hey, you know, that's your thing. I'm just going by what he said that his name is. And so I'm not going to argue about you over some name, because he said that's his name. And that's like if Elder, if another person come and start arguing with me about my name, I'm not going to argue with him. I know what my name is. And so the same thing. I'm not going to argue over his name. So don't call, say, no, his name is whatever, you know, I'm not going to argue with that, because that's what he said his name is. Now, going back to Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Now, meaning, now once again, the Shema, meaning Shem or Sham, that means basically a name. Name, and also, like I said before, name, attribute, character, ministry of a person. And so when we speak the name, it goes, Hear, O Israel. And so well, let me speak it in Hebrew. It would be Shema Yisrael. Now, any other Hebrew book that you read is going to say Yahweh, but I'm going to say Ahaya, Ahaya Eloheinu, Ahaya Akkad. And so what you're saying, what you're speaking is this. And the next important word that brings this out is one. Like, Hear, O Israel, and I'm going to read it in the King James, going back to Deuteronomy. I had it on Exodus, so give me a second here. Going back to Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And I'm going to read in the King James, Hear, O Israel. Now, Hear, Israel. It's not saying Hear, Canada, Hear, Poland, Hear, Russia. He's talking to his people, Israel. And I say that almost every broadcast, Elder, because I want the world to know that we are his chosen people. And so, let me read it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, that is Ahaya, our Eloheinu, that's the supreme one, and also the word God is the plural of the three. So if I was to say, to put it in English, I would say gods with an S. But we don't say gods and we don't say Lord. We're just using the King James, but you know, we're going to bring out this point. Ahaya are supremes. One is one, or is one lower, but it says one a higher. And so what that word one means, the word one, ekad, like I just read in the Hebrew, that word means unit of one, or unified as one. Three different characters, Father, Son, Ruach, the Holy Spirit. But they're one. They're one in every way. They're one in thought. They're one in word. They're one. They're united as one. And so what we are to proclaim, when we say, Hear, O Israel, not only, they say, and the culture is to say it in the morning and say it before you go to bed. Say it twice a day. And so what we are to do, what our job is to do, meaning when it says hear, it means hear the name and proclaim, because remember the word hear, the Shema, is to hear, listen, hearken, obey, proclaim Yah's name, publish it, report it. And so, Elder, like I had mentioned last week, that that what we haven't been doing is that we've been allowing other people to dictate his name. And that's why his name is all screwed up. His name and dictate to us our culture. And so, you know, here we are today trying to make the corrections when we were the ones to proclaim, to preach, proclaim his name. Not the Gentiles to us, but we to the world. And so this is why this is so important, because it is us to proclaim it. Let me see if we can go to to show the importance of it. Let's just go to I'm just going to go to Mark. Wait, let me see. I might go to Exodus first. Hold on, Ella. Do you have anything to say? Elder?
I'm sorry, I had myself on mute while I was typing as well. I think that You said it best, that's one of the reasons why there's such a big discussion and debate about the name, because truly in these last times, well, this was referred to as the injunction and the greatest commandment that there is out of all the commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And I just thought, when you had me read that scripture again about how he said that this shall be my name forever throughout all generations, that is emphatic that there's one name that shall last throughout all generations. Now, I know we didn't design this class to teach the name. We'll gear that towards another lesson some other time. But the fact of the matter is that when you go to the Torah in the book, I need to get the precept. When you go there, and he says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, in the book of Second Chronicles, he's making it clear that if my people that are called by my name, that there's a name, and then whosoever calleth upon the name of the Most High shall be saved. So that is very indicative of a particular time where people are going to need to know. But we did a lesson also that talked about the faith that comes from those who are probably still walking in ignorance. And I don't mean, I'm not calling someone ignorant. I'm saying you just don't have the knowledge because you want to ignore a particular topic because you're comfortable with what you've been doing. But we challenge you to always grow and to study and know for yourself. And even while I'm making this point, I got a lot of brothers out here preaching while you're looking for that scripture that you can't eat from more than one plate. You need to get in one camp. You need to do this and that. And as we were talking, the Ruach is what teaches us. Because I have somebody say something, because I like to listen to brothers teach because I love the word. But if the Ruach tells me that's off, I'm not going to deal with that aspect of it. And I know a lot of people don't have the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. So that's the biggest problem. But also, that's like you and I were saying. I could sit up here and tell you, well, I'm only going to read the book of Daniel because, you know, I'm just going, I don't want to get confused by Nehemiah. I'm just going to. Brother, well, we from the tribe of, you know, the camp of Jeremiah. So we only going to feast off of Jeremiah's teaching. That's foolishness. That's utter foolishness to be talking like that about, you know. But then we know that there's some false prophets and other teachers out there, but we're to mark them. Mark those that cause division amongst us and those that aren't preaching the truth. So we're not here to make this lesson about a name, but this particular commandment being the injunction, the Shema, which is the most important. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's all I want to say, bro.
Okay. Well, that was, and that's profound and needed to be said, because never have you heard coming from our mouth on this Shabbat or on either one of our broadcasts, that we're the only ones you should listen to. This is not a communist, nor, you know, when you begin to say that, you start leaning towards, you know, the occult. And so, no, I mean, there's as the Most High told Elijah, hey, I got 7,000 prophets out there that haven't bowed down. So there's others that is teaching the word as well. Getting back to this name, because I'm a member, the whole thing with the Shema is pronouncing and saying the name. And so we are to teach and say the name to the world, and that the name is one. If you can turn... I mean, in that they, being the plural, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is one in unity. Not one in one, but one in unity. That's one of the things that that the Greek word for this have gotten, they gotten it wrong, because they just said in the Greek, the word S or Hes is one person. They didn't put unity or anything. It's just one person, you know, one person. And so this is another thing. This is why I really don't like dealing with the Greek, because even though I know it, I don't like dealing with it, because it's not really our language. And so I like to stick with our language. And sometimes when I go to the Arabic or when I go to the Aramaic or the Egyptian, at least I'm in the same ballpark. but the Greek as a whole is out of our culture. And so having said that, if we can go to St. John's 5:43. Do you want me to read it or do you want to read it?
No, I'll read that. I'll read it for you. Reading from St. John's 5 and verse 43, it reads, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive.
Now, as you see here, when it says, I am, you see that I am in there, just like what we just showed you in Exodus. I am come in my Father's name. In other words, I can put Ahaya come in my Father's name, and you received it not, and you didn't receive it. And so here he is. He's coming. He, the Son, came in his Father's name, and just like now. We don't receive that. We get more flack over this than probably anything. And we're probably getting flack now as we speak. But there's another example. And if you can turn also with me to, in that same you know, area, St. John 17 and 6 and 26. Now, you know, Hero Israel, you know, Ahiah is one. This is what we're dealing with. But the whole thing of this is speaking his name and that they are one in the preacher's name. All things are to be done in his name. 17:6. You want me to read it?
No, I'll read it. Reading from John, the 17th chapter, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word.
And so when he says, I have manifested thy name, so he came in his name, and he manifest in his name, in the Father's name. And so let me just say this, Elder Wise, on my heart. I was saved in Jesus' name, and I came out of the church, and you know, was from day one I was in church, you know, and was in church for 50 years. I'm a, you know, 50 years old, and so I was saved in Jesus' name, and you know, did other things in Jesus' name, and had a good time in Jesus' name. And saw miracles done in Jesus' name. But, you know, that was out of ignorance that, and that's all, once again, this is what the nations taught us. This is what the Gentiles taught was a name, and that's what we went with. That we didn't know anything else. And so we saw these things happening, miracles and so on, happening because, you know, that's what we knew. And but we came, we believed with all our heart, mind and soul, that this was the name. But our heart, I believe, was saying Ahaya or Yahshua, but we were saying a different name. And so now, in these last days, his name, he's starting to proclaim or make known his name through his people again. And so it's time to make that change. It's time to make that switch, because he's not going to come in a different name. He's going to come in the name that he pronounced in the Old Testament, or if I should say in the original contract and in the renewed contract. He's coming. He's making known his name again. And lastly, verse 26, and I'm just going to read that right quick. Elder, I have declared unto them thy name. So, once again, if he was to come and say, Jesus, then he's not declaring unto the people that name, because that name is, doesn't have nothing to do with Ahia, doesn't have nothing to do with Yah, because you see Yah in Ahia. So it doesn't have anything to do with that. Jesus is a whole different other page, different meaning, not even in the same ballpark. So you know, as a matter of fact, it's not even the same language. So you know, same, no, not the same language, not the same meaning. So you know that that he's not saying Jesus. So he his when he came, he declared his name. And so lastly, before we move on, I want to go over that word one again, because in John, Elder, if you don't mind, let's go to John. Well, no. Well, since we already in 17, let's read 17, 20, and 21, and then we'll turn to John 10. You want me to read it?
No, I'll read it. John 17 and
20 and 21.
John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
So, thank you, Elder. So the very, so not only are we to pronounce his name, proclaim his name, preach his name, teach his name, you know, live in his name, say that Shema daily, that they are one, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, but as we proclaim it and as we live it and as we are the bride of the Messiah, we are one with him. We become one, so it's become wrapped all in, because we are his Mishpachah family. And as you know, a family is really one. It's one come from the same tree, is one. Different individuals, but one. And so I'm staying on this for a while, and I'm about to get off of it because we only got a few minutes. I'm just going to turn to 10:30, and then we'll move on from there. Once again, this is the Messiah saying this. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's 29. I and my Father are one. And so once again, that word one means united, akkad. It's not aleph, which is the Hebrew word one in the Hebrew. It's akkad, meaning once again to be unified in one purpose, to be one, one in thought, one in speech, one in everything. So whatever the they so united and so knit together, and this is what we ought to be in him. They are so knit together that their thoughts are the same. Their songs are the same. Everything they do is the same. And we ought to be so filled with him. When I say him, I'm talking about Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that whatever we do ought to be the same as what they would do. And so, Elder, do you have anything to say before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, this is a good point. We might want to stay here with the rest of the time, because I think that's some of the precepts you're bringing out. I actually wanted to give some of the precepts that went from the Torah to the Tanakh and then into the letters of the apostles and
okay. How
we actually got there. I think you bring out a good point, because the Shema, which the word means to hear in the sense of obeying, Moses is teaching not only the priority of belief in one God, but also a means to preserve that belief. So I think Yeah, he was teaching a way to just keep, how to preserve it and keep it. And so you just brought out, you know, eloquently how Christ said, I have restored it and taught it again. I have the ones that you've given me. You know the scripture we just read. I have taught them your name. I've revealed it, brought it back, and I've brought them out of the world, these men. And but there was a systematic process that led us to that, that caused the people to forget that name and to lose the preservation of the belief of the Shema, that the Lord our God is one, as we begin to desecrate the name and begin to serve other gods. And so if you look at, as time went on, as I mentioned, we no longer grasped it as a people. I'm not going to read all these, but I'm going to give them out. Zechariah 7, 12 through 14. And that begins to show how we begin to lose grasp. And then the we lost the ability to understand the saving knowledge. And so this began to lead to our spiritual downfall. And that's in Hosea 4 and 6. And this, of course, ultimately led to the deportation of Israel and the exile of Judah. We can probably do Hosea 4 and 6. But before I do Hosea 4 and 6, I want to go to Jeremiah 23 and 27.
Okay.
Actually, I should be reading all of Jeremiah 23, but we read this last week, and he talked about, let me read Jeremiah 23:26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name. By their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as the fathers have forgotten my name, for Baal. For Baal. In the name of Satan. So we had false prophets throughout the Tanakh, Torah, throughout our pilgrimage and age, that began to introduce other gods, other forms of worship, and begin to prophesy lies. And throughout this process, our people forgot the Shema. We forgot the name. And we see Christ restoring that.
Ooh, that's a good point.
All those points are restored. So this was a systematic process that our Messiah had to come and restore amongst the people. And we see ourselves coming back into the knowledge of it. So I just think that, you know, we didn't have this aim, this seventh day to be on the fact that we are one, and in the importance of the name, and calling it, and the restorative process of it, and all the different things that we brought out to preserve the belief that the Lord our God is one, because when he's called by many names, and it's kind of hard to preserve that belief, because those that wake up into the knowledge say, what shall I call him? But I know Israel has an inherent belief in the Most High. They know who he is. So my petition is that it will resonate within you when you identify with something. He gives the Ruach to those that keep his commandments. Those that are keeping his commandments will have the insight that comes from the Ruach that will successfully lead them and guide them into all truth. I live by that. I live by that. I depend upon that. I depend upon that. And I know for some people, they have to have a Hebrews 5:14 experience, where you pretty much, through the process of life and learning and going through bad experiences, have to learn the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. You have to learn from your mistakes. So after you've gone through enough hell, you begin to know, I should have listened to that inner voice in me. But you're not going to be in that place unless you come back to the commandments, which should be inherent in your heart, that we can't walk away from. Because he draws us. He gives the increase. He puts us in that place. So we're coming to the preservation of a name and of a Shema. You know, so that we can get away from deportation. We don't want to be deported as we were in 70 AD and 300, you know, BC, and thrown out the temple, destroyed, all that stuff. We don't want to go back into that. So we know there should be voices crying out in the wilderness, and we should be prophesying into the wind, as we do on the seventh day, as we prepare for the return of our brother. He's coming back to open up the camp.
I was going to ask you a question. So when we say "Hear, O Israel," even though we're saying it in our house and we're saying it wherever we are, when we say "Hear, O Israel," are we saying it to the Ruach to speak or bring it to the mind of all Israelites all over the planet that, you know, Ahayah is one? Ahayah, you know, our Elohim or a God is one? I mean, so when we say that, it's not just for our own hearing. Is this, are we saying it to, if I could say, mail it off in the wind to our fellow brothers and sisters?
Prophesy to the wind. We are prophesying into the wind. That's a call of a solemn assembly. We're prophesying into the wind, letting it be known again, because this is the greatest and first one that was put out there. That particular commandment was considered the greatest, and to preserve that belief. It was that thou shalt love the Lord God with all thine heart.
That's the very next one. So, yeah, it is through that name, yes.
Exactly. So we don't know. We don't know. I try not to say a lot of things without giving the precepts and not having to do a whole lesson, but our prayers are received in a vial by angels and taken up unto the Father. When we pray these things and we put these things into the atmosphere like this, we're prophesying into the wind and we're calling things forth. And this is why we see a unification of the diaspora, the 12 tribes of Israel, starting to happen on a very, very large scale, which is why it's not a time for separation, trying to allocate which way to go and who to follow and who to do, you know, listen. And let's just wake up and watch the Father collect us and gather us, because one thing's for sure is he's going to deal with his people, his remnant, his 144,000, and those that are underneath those leaders. He's going to deal with his people. He's going to deal with his people, and he's going to prepare us for that time. And we all are awaiting, all of creation, as Ephesians talks about, is groaning. The whole earth is quaking, and it's signs of times, water turning to blood, birds falling out the sky, fish dying, animals coming out the woods, going up in people's houses, and the food is just bad, and the earth is all messed up. The wind is messed up from the radiation and the things that Esau and man has done to it. And it's been raped and pillaged for all its minerals and resources. And it's crying out from all the bloodshed of the people that were killed. The black Libyans, people over in Africa, people over in Egypt, people in London, people in the United States, like your Trayvons. The whole earth is ticked off. And the Messiah is on his way back.
Yeah, I just read a couple of days ago, how the United States is being invaded by pigs, you know, wild pigs just running, you know, just starting to invade the whole country, man, and you know, eating up crops and, you know, killing other killing cattle and so on, and it's going from state to state to state. And so this, too, I look at as a judgment, because you're not going to – one thing that I learned in Scripture is that the same people or same the nations whom the Most High sent to punish the children of Israel, he turned around and punished those nations. And so the United States and these and the other Americas, whether and including South America and the islands of the Caribbean and Bahamas, all that, where we got shipped off to, and they abused us and all kind of things, just in the worst way abused us. You're going to get judged for that. And so the things that are happening with the diseases and all kind of stuff that's going on with the murder rate and all the stuff that's going on in the U.S., and you know what it is. It's just so many. That's judgment. And so, but one thing about it, he's going to keep his people. a question that our father Abraham asked. He asked, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the answer is no. And so he's going to save his remnant. He's going to save his people, and he's going to lead his people back to him, back to his name, back to the Shema. Because the scripture says that he shall lead us, he shall lead us just like a shepherd. And so he's going to shepherd us back together again.
And I just want
your job is to start making that's the halakha. That's the, matter of fact, not only the halakha, that's the debtor king. The ways of the Most High, we got to start walking back into His way, and back into His ways, and to that narrow path.
All praises to the Most High that I'm seeing our people starting to come back to this path, and Scripture makes it clear that when you shall see all these signs, you know that's the generation that will not pass without seeing it coming. Of the Most High, the return. We are the generation that are seeing all these signs of the times. We are the generation that is seeing a president like this type of president, this type of global governance, and this type of catastrophe. No other generation has seen anything as we've seen things on a wholesale murder, just on a large scale. But all praises to the Most High that I'm loving how people are seeing past the deception, and they're not buying into the lies anymore, and that the mask of Satan is being revealed, and he's scurrying and trying to speed things up because he actually thinks he has a chance to be prepared to fight the Most High when he returns. But he's trying to also ramp up the destruction of Israel and kill as many of us as possible. But we know Isaiah 54:17 makes it clear that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we will and we shall condemn. I applaud all speakers of the Torah, Tanakh, and the commandments in this hour that are preaching this truth and prophesying to the wind and preparing our people without fear, because you're doing your part, your job, in this assignment of this transformation and preparation of our people, for who knows who you may be in this coming war, this coming army. But take courage, take cheer. And I don't know if we have time. We'll probably pick it up next week. But the next point, law, statute we want to talk about is how we're supposed to build up Israel. And so I commend all those that are doing a work and service to build up Israel, even if it's one person a day that you get to stop eating a bacon sandwich.
Oh, man.
That's real talk. You know, that's an unclean animal, no good for you, and it keeps you from being Kodesh, set apart. It represents how it defiles you. You know, there's a lot of things people think it's not just about healthy living. It's just that this world, Esau, they know that there are parasites. It's a parasitic meat, and now they've created specific weapons and warfare. There are race-specific weapons that this world has that is destroying our people, which is why you see your people walking the street looking just tired, especially after not eating the proper nutrition, which they can't get. It's hard to get. They put the worst grocery stores in the neighborhood, and they're eating this. They know that the parasites connect. There's DNA destruction taking place with the chemtrails in the air and the food that you eat, and the parasitic aspect opens you up to demonic spirits, which we know run synonymous with sickness, which is why Christ would heal people and say, go sin no more, because it was a sin to violate and transgress the law, the dietary law, and eat the wrong food. So I'm just saying all that to say that we all have an assignment, and it's important to all preach, and not everybody can get it from one avenue, but prophesying into the wind and telling our people that it's time. And we are coming into the time, but all praises to the Most High for the knowledge that's coming upon our children and that's coming out of the mouth of babes. And how they are awakened. They're not going for the foolishness, you know, and how they don't even want doctors sticking them with vaccinations. How they're saying, why I got to get a shot and put something inside me that I don't even have. And how come blacks and Latinos are dying of AIDS? And why are y'all over there just killing everybody in Africa? Everybody's starting to wake up and not even listen to the Zionist media news and see the truth. And I give all praises to the Most High that's allowing the Ruach, allowing the wind to begin to breathe upon these dry bones as they prepare to live again.
No, I'm just listening, man. Go ahead.
I'm just speaking. That's what time we are. That's where we are, brother. And you know, I await. You know, I await. I await this time. I await. But in the meantime, and in between time, we are to serve him and look out for Israel. That's what we could speak on it a little bit, and maybe we can close out with that last scripture about Israel. But every morning, it's not a day I don't pray for Israel's strength.
Same here.
Attack is against us, so that we never come back into prominence and begin to call on our God, the one true, supreme, living God that is getting ready to come rectify this entire situation. Have faith, have courage, give heart, and know he is watching, listening, taking notes, and getting ready to come back. And then,
you know, as we begin to proclaim his name and to teach his name in every way, nations will respond, because in Isaiah, the judgment of Egypt, I believe that's in 19. It's either 18 or 19, because Ethiopia and Egypt, that they're, you know, right behind each other. It says that Egypt will tear down their monuments, which means, you know, the Sphinx, the pyramids, and all that. Those other, because they got so many monuments and great monuments that it's they're going to tear all that down, and they're going to build a monument to give praise to the Most High. So all that stuff that you see is going to be torn down, and they're going to even come back to the Most High. And so, but it's going to be through our teaching. It's going to be through, you know, the leading and the direction of the people of Israel through the Ruach. And so that's why we are proclaiming now. That's why Africa is starting to turn back, and the people of Ahai is beginning to turn back. And no one's not going to say, no, I'm better than you. They're going to turn to us, because we're going to know the culture. We're going to know his ways. And so that's why this verse is so important, for you to get up every morning and speak out. And before you go to bed, speak out. And so I haven't been doing it as far as this particular verse, but as of yesterday, I started doing it. You know, so I didn't know that until yesterday, as I started studying this. And so I'm going to make it a point. I pray for Israel and the people every day, but I don't speak this particular verse. And so I'm going to do that every day.
Well, brother, I'm going to close out.
Our time is up.
Yeah, I'm going to close out. I want to wild out for those of you that tuned in. And thank Elder Ardre for these words. And all you in the chat room, tuning into Social Change Action Network and Kavah Mountain, Yasharel. As we always say here, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. The truth is a journey and not a destination. So let's remember that it's important for us to bless Israel. And I'm going to give that scripture, and I'm going to close out with that last scripture for the priestly blessing of Numbers, the 6th chapter, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Just want to say Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Israel, we are one. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh,